now.
Hello out there in Radio Land. It's time once more for another exciting installment of the Papa Prell Show. I am your host, the Papa Prell. And tonight, I've got top secret information heretofore unreleased. It is from the Freedom of Information Act, and the government will neither confirm nor deny it officially, but it nevertheless is true. It is the soundtrack of a band 60mm medical film, directed for and by the Atomic Energy Commission. The global ramifications of what you are about to hear are startling. Just by broadcasting the sound portion alone, we risk worldwide chaos and mayhem. However, it is my firm belief that you, the prayer listener, not only should hear it, but must hear it. After all, as weekly prayer listeners, you have already demonstrated an intellectual capability far beyond that of the average schmo. Hear, then, the previously top-secret classified military report on Operation Ashtray, the scientific climax of the century.
The United States Air Force, in cooperation with the Department of Energy, proudly presents another in a series of informative and educational military training films dedicated to the development of America's nuclear shield. Episode 6, And Then There Were None, also known as H-Bomb, Friend or Foe.
In 1953, a small group of highly select scientists working for the Defense Department and the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission began work on the initial testing of America's hydrogen bomb. Their secret efforts led them to a small island in the South Pacific known as the Bikini Atoll. The tests there were to prove the feasibility of thermonuclear weapons and became world famous. What was not well publicized were the experiments personally supervised by the team leader. The results of those experiments were deemed to be so frightening, so disturbing, that they have remained one of America's best-kept secrets since the Second World War. The team leader of the U.S. H-bomb project was the renowned Dr. Edward Teller. In general, everyone from President Eisenhower on down agreed at the conclusion that the tests were an unqualified success. And for a short while, America felt safer in its relationship toward her principal adversary, the Soviet Union. The high point of the evaluation involved dropping the H-bomb from a B-36 bomber and detonating it right on the heart of the Bikini Atoll. The destructive effects dramatically overwhelmed the force of the earlier fission bombs. The entire main island, measuring 22 by 12 miles, was devastated. Sand was melted into glass. Palm trees, which had once overpopulated the island, were now gone, instantly vaporized by the over 10,000 degree heat of the blast. In addition, it was estimated that well over 1 million gallons of seawater had been flashed into steam. Finally, abandoned ships of the once proud Imperial Japanese Navy were charred to cinders, even though they had been anchored some 25 miles from the epicenter of the explosion. In short, America truly had a weapon of mass destruction. But to Dr. Teller, there still remained the vexing question of just exactly what effect a thermonuclear explosion would have on human beings in close proximity. To find out conclusively, 6 native test subjects were paid $100 each in U.S. currency in exchange for volunteering to take part in the experiment. Shrouded in a veil of absolute secrecy, even President Eisenhower was not to have been informed, a test site was located at Ground Zero. The subjects were seated in an open area so that there would be no obstructions between them and the blast. Trees were cleared away from a 100-meter square area. Then the subjects were connected to a series of special medical sensors which monitored such bodily functions as heart rate, respiration, adrenal flow, eye dilation, skin temperature, and the higher brain functions. These readings were telemetrically linked to the command ship, the USS San Juan Hill. The data there was transcribed onto graph paper for post-blast analysis. With everything in place, All that remained was for the test to begin. The B-36 was set to fly over the target at 32,000 feet, and at precisely 11:20 a.m. Central Pacific Time explode America's first hydrogen bomb. Waiting in the open area, the six volunteers craned their heads skyward. They had been told to look for an airplane to fly over. They must have felt strange sitting there with the 26 different wires snaking from various parts of their bodies, wires which carried the vital signs back to the San Juan Hill. At 11:18, they began to hear the sound of aircraft engines humming in the distance. The sound grew louder, and then louder still. On board the B-36, nicknamed Love Me Hard, Captain Noah Howard steered the giant six-engined craft towards the release point. Bombardier Joe Leary adjusted the dials on the Norden bomb site. Dr. Teller had personally briefed the crew that in order to achieve success, absolute accuracy was essential. Then, at the last moment, the great bomb doors swung open, and the two-ton bomb fell whistling down towards the six subjects. Captain Howard yanked back on the control column and performed the special post-release maneuver. In order to avoid the lethal effects and the over 150 mile per hour winds, the plane would have to gain an additional 10,000 feet in only 43 seconds. On board the San Juan Hill, Dr. Teller and his military counterpart, Major General Everett P. Molehead, watched the island in anticipation through the safety of flash goggles. Over the loudspeaker, someone counted down. Then the brightest light ever seen on Earth flashed across the sky in silence. A huge red and white fireball of pure heat froze over the island. Then the familiar mushroom cloud formed. The sound itself took only seconds to reach the ship, but when it did, it was louder than any battleship's guns. And shortly after the blast, the giant shockwave could be seen approaching, as if some unseen giant had dropped an enormous stone into the sea. A ring of chaos and destruction raced out from the epicenter. Even though the San Juan Hill was more than 75 miles away, the effects of the explosion were soon felt. The ship was tossed and turned by the shockwave, and although damage was light, the crew couldn't believe that they had felt it that far out. General Molehead was awestruck by the power of the spectacle, but when he turned to congratulate Dr. Teller, he was no longer in sight. General Molehead found Dr. Teller and his staff below in the instrument room, staring into space, clutching rolls of graph paper. What could be wrong, he thought. The lines on the paper meant nothing to General Molehead.
What is it, Doctor? What have you got?
Quickly, Dunkos, unroll the graph paper. Yeah. Interesting, very interesting. Here at the point, we have 1119.55682, all signs normal. Here at the stato mark, that shows the precise nanosecond of detonation. And here we see the six subject signals go off the scale. After 1/1000th of a second, they physically no longer existed in stable matter form. Every atom in their bodies was being torn away from one another. In short, instant vaporization. You see here, General?
No, I don't see. What do you mean? I'm just a general. I need these things explained.
Yes, Herr General. Higher brain functions at 119.55687. These centers are sensory responses. They peak at every level. We can't even measure them. Don't you see, Herr General?
Well, perhaps we need to recalibrate the instruments. I mean, if it's a question of money...
999! You don't get the point, Herr General. The higher brain functions include the pleasure-pain centers. These readings show at the exact moment of vaporization the subjects, as the very molecules were being broken down into the constituent parts, were experiencing more pleasure than was thought humanly possible. Yeah?
Perhaps, Doctor, if you put it in layman's terms, not exactly a scientist, you know.
They were having orgasm, you fool!
Oh.
Imagine every atom gets an orgasm at the same exact time. Uh-huh. General, we've discovered the ultimate human bliss. Vaporization.
Doctor, if what you say is true, we've got to keep this quiet. Imagine the panic which would ensue if this became public knowledge. Millions of people would want to experience the ultimate sensation.
What's furthermore, Herr General, listen to their last words as encoded on recorded magnetic tape. Hans, play the tape.
Yes.
Well, there you have it. The untold truth behind America's H-bomb program. Far from being a weapon of mass destruction, it's actually one of the greatest pleasure devices ever conceived. Imagine the global consequences of this revelation. Whole nations would clamor to become our enemy. Especially in today's hedonistic anything-goes-if-it-feels-good-do-it society. Is it any wonder that our government has kept it a secret for so long? No wonder protesters flock to every nuclear test range in sight. They all want a piece of the action. So don't fall for these vicious left-wing lies about apocalyptic nuclear holocaust. It's all propaganda put out to scare you into believing the end will come with screaming skeletons disappearing in a flash of flame. Nothing could be farther from the truth, as you just heard with your own ears. The end does come quickly, but it's hardly painful. In fact, it's the closest thing we come to nirvana. Now, do you really want to go back to the days of conventional warfare? I thought not. So the next time one of those no-nuke protesters tries to trick you into signing their petition, you can tell them, don't worry, be happy. This is Papa Prayer saying so long until next time again, and God bless.